Yeah. Trust me, y'all. Trust me when I tell you this is all heart, y'all. Yeah.
Genuine art from a genuine artist. Right down till the day I departed. You want fantasy? Then look elsewhere. It's all real over here. I got no fear.
Genuine art from a genuine artist. I didn't start this, but now I'm the hardest human being to harness the spoken word. I left my hometown just to conquer the world and show the small-minded success is all mental. I'm from the islands, but I think continent.
From California to the New York, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is the place that believes when the people speak, we make a difference. Today we're speaking with the people speak with a great man, a man of faith and of fortitude, Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss of the Natura Carta. This man has come from a long history and a lineage of a great faction of Judaism that I think is long forgotten. In Palestine, there was already a God-fearing Jewish community during the early formation of the state. And when the Zionists decided to go there, they became a threat to the Palestinian Arabs. But they were also a threat to the Jewish community in Palestine. And when the Jews living in Palestine saw the influx of Zionists, they realized that this was a tremendous threat for the whole of Judaism. And they created in the 1920s Adia Kriyadas, the congregation of the God-fearing, to fight this Zionist movement. Later, it transformed in the 1930s, and the ones that were vocal were given the name Natura Carta, the Watchers, or the Protectors of the City. These were the vocal people against Zionism. They were there to fight the Zionist movement, and they fought it tooth and nail, and people were killed in the fights. Till today, they're still beaten and thrown into jail, but the media never talks about that. Rabbi Weiss, welcome to our show. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here, sir. Rabbi Weiss? Hello? I guess we seem to have... Rabbi Weiss, can you hear us? Hi guys, we are experiencing some technical difficulties. We seem to have lost the rabbi, and we're reconnecting right now. For those of you that have just joined us, Rabbi Weiss is of the Natura Carta. This is an incredibly rich and beautiful Hasidic Orthodox faction of Judaism that is growing in strength and power as the days go on. Rabbi Weiss, are you with us? I guess we've lost Rabbi Weiss. We just got a hold of him, and now we've lost him. That's a shame. Again, yes, he often speaks at rallies, and he has been criticized by the international community for attending many conferences, such as the World Conference Against Racism in Durban. He was also in Iran, and there was a lot of controversy about his position there, and a lot of the Jews felt that it was unwarranted for him to go there and that it was actually almost an act of traitorism. Hello, Rabbi Weiss, how are you?
Thank God. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir, we do, and welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. It's an honor to have you with us here tonight.
Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be on your show, and first, let me say that I pray to God that he should bestow upon me his wisdom and his knowledge, and I should be worthy of relating the truth of the Torah to all of your august listeners, and in so doing, we should be able to sanctify God's name. Amen. Thank you for having me.
Well, Rabbi, could you please tell us exactly what the term Neturah Karta means and what it means more specifically to you and to the new Judaic movement?
Okay. Neturah Karta, as you've so beautifully explained, is the it's Aramaic. It comes from the words of the Talmud, which is part of the Jewish teaching, in which it is given. Once some wise man came to a city and asked, "Who are the protectors of this city?" And they pointed out the soldiers, and the wise man said, "No, those are the machrive karta, the destroyers of the city. The neture karta, the protectors of the city, are the wise men, are the intellectuals, the chachamim, we would say, the sages, and they're the ones who really protect the city." And when Zionism came about in the beginning of the 20th century, the wise men, and as you pointed out, there was a Palestinian Jewish community who were a very religious community, God-fearing, and lived in harmony as close neighbors with all the non-Jewish neighbors, the Muslims and the Christians, and they had no problem whatsoever. Religion wasn't the problem. Now, when the Zionists came, the Jewish community realized what a great threat they are, and therefore, eventually, they put up different signs in on the walls, you know, decrying the Zionist movement and other things. They did demonstrations. One of the signs were put up was that this message of the Talmud, that the ones who are armed, these are the machrive karta, the destroyers of the city. The neture karta are the ones who are the sages, the ones who follow truth to God. And afterwards, the ones who stood up vocally in opposition to this new movement of Zionism were referred to as Neture Karta. So that's where it comes from. And I think really I should just explain a little, with God's help, what the difference is between Zionism and Judaism. Would that be okay?
Let me ask you, Rabbi Weiss, there are a lot of people that seem to be very confused between Zionism and Judaism and Jewishism. Can you please clarify what the differences of these are, and what's the difference between Zionism and Judaism? Because if you talk to a Jew today, if you talk to Israelis today, they tell you that they are Zionists.
Right. That is, of course, the most important question, most probably today, in regard to the Jewish people. Actually, Zionism and Judaism are not only that they are not one and the same, but on the contrary, they are totally contradictory. Zionism is the diametric opposite of what Judaism is. It's antithetical, this movement of Zionists, to Judaism. Judaism is a religion practiced by the Jewish people for thousands of years, and Zionism is relatively brand new. It's created around 100 years ago. It has been created by non-religious Jews who are estranged from the Torah, who detested the spirituality of the Torah. For instance, Theodor Herzl, the father of Zionism, their goal was to transform this religion, this concept of spirituality of Judaism, into a materialism, into a nationalistic goal, a materialistic goal to have a land, to be a nation as other worldly nations, as like you would say that Italians have Italy, or you know, the Canadians have Canada, and so forth, and totally, as I say, removing the godliness and transforming it from a religion of godliness into a materialistic political movement and goal, which entails having a land, having a military, having an Olympic team, nothing to do with spirituality. Judaism, on the other side of the coin, is totally an issue of Jews, people who made a bond with God to be a nation of priests, to constantly serve God, to emulate God. Just as God is compassionate, you should be compassionate. A people of the book, constantly bound by the spirituality of the Torah, the laws of the Torah, bound to God, and trying to do good, and doing all the laws, strictly following the laws of the Torah. Zionism is it crosses out the laws of the Torah. In other words, they say you could be a good Jew as long as you are loyal to the state of Israel. It's totally, totally contradictory and opposite. I'll take it a step further that people should understand. According to the teachings of the Torah that Jews accepted a few thousand years ago on Mount Sinai, they made a bond with God, as I said, to follow the laws of the Torah, to emulate him. And God, at that time, gave the Jewish people a land in where to practice and to be closer to God. And there's many laws that the land requires. For instance, every seventh year we are forbidden to till the land. We must give it to charity and so forth. And this was accepted by Jews as part of their agreement with God. And God said, when I'm giving you the land, I'm stipulating that if you will not be on this high level of holiness, you will be forced to leave the land. And this says many times in the Torah. And around 2,000 years ago, after many warnings of the prophets, as anybody can read in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the prophets, the Jews were sent out of the land with the destruction of the temple. And God made a stipulation with the Jews and clearly put the Jews under oath and said that now, as a people, you are being spread out through the diaspora in exile throughout the world. And God put us under three oaths. One, that we are forbidden to rebel against any nation. We must be loyal citizens in any country, in any land wherein we reside. Secondly, we are forbidden to go back en masse as a large, large groups to the land of Israel. And thirdly, we are not to make any attempt to end exile. We must wait patiently to when God will see fit that he himself will make a metaphysical change in the world where all humanity will recognize one God and serve him in harmony. At that time, all the nations together will go up and serve God. Till that day comes, that will be without, you know, our military intervention. Till that day comes, we, as I say, have to be good citizens and loyal to every country where we are. So the Jewish people are clearly, expressly forbidden to try to create our own entity like a state of Israel. We must accept lovingly God's punishment and be amongst the nations as loyal, as God-fearing people to emulate God and show people how it means to serve God. So in other words, to have a state of Israel, according to the Jewish law, is expressly forbidden, and that would be, even if the land would have been uninhabited, it wouldn't have been inhabited by the Palestinian people, it would be forbidden for us to take 1 inch of our own sovereignty. It just becomes compounded, this terrible sin and rebellion against God, by creating the state of Israel, because they created it in a populated land, that was inhabited by the Palestinian people. Being that it was done in the properties of other people, that belonged to other people, by subjugating them and expelling them from their land, we are again rebelling against everything that the Torah is about and what a Jew has to be about. It says that one is forbidden to steal, to kill, to do bad things. So everything that the Zionism represents, and their state of Israel, this is all contradictory, antithetical to the
teaching
of the Torah forbidden. Yes.
Rabbi, let me ask you something. Your expressions here are telling us that the state of the Zionist state and the Judaic state can no more be reconciled with each other than dark and light, I suppose. So where are they getting this, the concept of Aliyah, where did that come from? Aliyah, for those of you that do not know, is the concept of the right of the return of the Jewish people to the state of Israel. Now, if Zionism is Aliyah something that is in the book, the Torah, or is it a creation of the state of Zion?
Okay. What the Zionists did is, in order to legitimize what they're doing, to have their own state and to the transformation into this nationalistic entity which they wanted to, you know, like uproot in the Jewish heart, the whole concept of Judaism and make it just a simply materialistic, nationalistic thing. But they realize they won't have any following from the Jewish people and from the non-Jewish people. So what they did was they started using concepts of Judaism. For instance, they wanted to create the state of Israel in Uganda or in other lands, which they clearly spelled out in their first conferences of the Zionist Congress in the end of the 19th century. But when they, in order to have a following, they started using what every Jewish person yearns. Like I said, we yearn for the end of exile, and we yearn, we pray every day to God that God should see to forgive our sins and we should be returned to the land of Israel. As I say, not as that we should make a state of Israel, but it means the revelation of godliness throughout the world, where we will all, with all humanity, recognize God and serve Him. So that's what we pray for. But they took these concepts and they forged it into their concept of Zionism. So they kept on using all the yearning of the Jewish people from generations and counting on the ignorance of the masses, because they knew that most of the Jewish people, unfortunately, weren't religious. They would say, your grandparents and your fathers and your great-grandparents, they all prayed to Lashana Habab Yerushalayim, the coming year in Jerusalem. So we are going to do that. We are beginning God's redemption. We are bringing the Jews back to Jerusalem. And being that we consider it a very holy place, we call it Aliyah, going up. So from whatever corner of the earth that you're coming, you're going up to Israel. Now, the concept of going up is an old Jewish concept. And in fact, as an individual, throughout the generations, old rabbis would go up to live off their older days in purity and holiness in this holy land. But not, and I stress, not as a nationalistic goal, simply as good citizens, and not this mass movement to end exile. But they called themselves Zionists, and they started referring to themselves as the Eschalta, the Geula, the beginning of redemption, and they started stealing everything, our name, the Star of David, the name of Judaism, the name of Israel. They took all these names, even though they detested religion, but they took all these concepts in order to con and fool the Jewish people into supporting them and believing they're doing something good. And of course, the evangelistic Christians also believe that they're fulfilling the words of the Bible. So they wave the Bible to legitimize their rebellion against God, when in truth, if anybody just scratches the surface of the Torah, looks a little further into the issue, or asks the scholars of the true scholars, in other words, from the really religious communities, whether it would be the hundreds of thousands in Jerusalem and Beit Shemesh or any of the other B'nai Brak in the other areas of occupied Palestine, or you would ask anybody from the elite, the really religious in New York or anywhere throughout the world, they would tell you clearly and without any hesitation that what Zionism is doing is simply using Judaism, and it's really, truly a catastrophe for the Jewish people, never mind for the Palestinian people. So they simply use Aliyah.
Rabbi, when you talk about this, though, what we're seeing here clearly is an issue that the Israelis that are living on the ground in Israel are actually have become willing participants. I believe, like you, that many of the Jewish Israelis that live in Israel are there with a higher intent, that they really believed that the Zionist regime had something to do with their religion. But after all of the information that has been put out into the airways, why are there still so many Jews in Israel that are absolutely proponents of the occupation, that believe that encompassing Palestinian Arabs in a wall in concentration camps is acceptable? I believe, and on one level, that we have an issue of selective Zionism. They have chosen this path now. There's enough information out there to steer them away. Do you think this is a threat to Judaism itself?
Yes. Now, the question is to the point again. It's really you're touching on the main point, and it's so important that you're asking that. In truth, when the Zionism came and they unfortunately got control of the land through the through the ratification of the United Nations. Although, again, if somebody would look at, say, for instance, at our site www.nkusa.org, you will see that even that in the United Nations document, that the rabbis, the heads, the chief rabbis of the community, and everybody pleaded with the United Nations that they don't want to have the state, this so-called Jewish state. And I have the letter in front of me from the chief rabbi in 1947, prior to the creation of the state. So they pleaded with the United Nations that we don't want to have anything to do with this state. We don't want it. And they pleaded then give us at least Jerusalem. And they were totally ignored because the Zionists had political control. They were very well connected with the Western leadership, which is a whole long story of how they got connected. But anyway, once they got this total control over the land, so there was many people who felt that they have no choice because they were actually being starved and intimidated and threatened and killed and being starved by the Zionist government. So they started having a religious representation in the government. Now, it was a split between the Jewish leadership. There were many, as I, who were totally said that we should have not recognize the state of Israel. There were many rabbis, unfortunately, who said that we have no choice. Just for instance, as Palestinians today, the Muslims have like some representation in the Knesset. They say we have to have representation, or else we will be murdered, you know, and die from starvation. And there were people who actually died from starvation. So they had representation. Now that was the first. Why you find people who went along. It's not that they went along with the concept. In fact, the majority, the vast majority of this religious people who joined the state of Israel, they don't have any flags, Israeli flags on the buildings, even though they are they get support from the state, you know, government funding, and they don't send their children. The vast majority of religious, which is a fact and it's a very strong point of contention, they don't send their children to the army. And the leftists, the ones who are non-religious, call them leeches. And it would be an inner explosion. If it wouldn't be for the fighting with the Arabs, then there would be an inner explosion because there's constant this. People say they create the wars because they know that it would implode because of this tension between the religious and non-religious. Now, that is one point. But then going further down the line, the Zionists, in order with their, you know, they're very shrewd. It's not that they're fools. That's how they build themselves. They started creating this factory of creating a fear-mongering, where they go around telling the Jews, whether you agree with us about Zionism, as they keep on saying, but now it's a fact that the Arabs look at every Jew as their enemy, and they want to throw them into the ocean, which is a mantra of Zionism. They want to throw all the Jews and kill all the Jews. So they started this fear-mongering, and of course they tried to claim that it's a religious conflict between the Jews, and the Arabs have an ingrained hate for all generations to the Jews, which is totally false. And secondly, they say, even if they didn't, or they, whatever it is, today they will kill every Jew if you will let them back into the land. And many Jews who I approach say, we agree with you fully against Zionism, but if we're going to give back the land, then they're going to come and they're going to murder every Jew. Now, we tell them that you're 100% wrong, and secondly, that doesn't give you the right to take the land away. Not only, when I say we, I'm talking as a whole of these hundreds of thousands of Jews who stand there in frustration and protest, and whether it's in the United States or in Jerusalem or these other areas, so they keep on telling the other Jews, you're wrong, and it doesn't give you a right to stand there, you know, and continue with your policy of this illegitimate state and not returning the land to the Palestinians. But there is where where they're able to ensnare many of the Jews because of this fear-mongering. Now, it's very important to understand that, for instance, today, when I'm speaking to you as of now, the last 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, there's been hundreds of thousands of people demonstrating in Jerusalem against the Zionist oppression of the religious Jewish people, besides of the Palestinians, They are also, for instance,
Rabbi, we never hear about any of this. We never hear about
and
any of this.
It's unbelievable because we will have it up on our site, and you can check. They had this great gay march, international march, in the center of Jerusalem. They had to make it in the holiest city for all religions. What does the holy city of religions represent? The Torah, that God writes in it that it's forbidden to have homosexual activity. And they went and they had to make the march, and then and of course the popular CNN, you know, all these different news channels. I can't exactly quote each one, but many of them. I just picked the number. I retract that because I didn't follow them exactly. But many of these had claims that they accused of the religious of being intolerant. Because if you're such good godly people, how come you're not allowing them to march in your center? Now, why do they look at the other side of the coin? How could they have to march right in the center of the whole of something which is considered what it makes it special? Because it's holy to religion, and it's forbidden according to the religion to have homosexual activities. But they march right in the middle. So there was a tremendously large demonstration, literally of hundreds of thousands of people demonstrating. What do the Zionists do? They beat them mercilessly, and today there are people sitting in jails right now, and they're being held without even bail, without any claims against them. We've made demonstrations. We are going to have next week in New York demonstrations, this coming week in Montreal, all over, and nobody sees what's going on. Not only that, I must tell you an unbelievable story that was that's circulating in Jerusalem. One of the police went in amongst the religious people who were demonstrating, and we always are peaceful. You know, we just raise our voices. We do not carry, you know, throw stones. A policeman was sent amongst the religious and threw stones in order to give an excuse to the police to run in amongst the religious and starting beating them mercilessly and randomly. And this policeman.
So you're saying they actually sent in an agitator in order
agitator, to. And how do we know that? Because besides the fact that they always do it, but it happens to be that this policeman just got sick. This was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and he got sick. Him and his wife felt sick. They went to a doctor. They discovered they have cancer, him and his wife. And he went to the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, Rabbi Tovia Weiss. He's not a relative of mine. And he approached him, and he said, pray for me because I feel it's directly from God for what I have done. And he was the one who was sent in to throw these stones, and then they were attacked by the police that beat mercilessly these religious. And this is they have the letter of Mr. Rabbi Popenheim from the Eidei Chavedus, the God-fearing community, it's called. This is what happened. This is constant, the beating and the oppression of the religious.
Well, let's take this to the next level, Rabbi. When we hear these things are being done to Hasidic Jews, to Jews by Jews, how much more brutal is the IDF to the Palestinian people?
And that, you have no idea. In our religious communities, we suffer and our hearts are rent by the suffering of the Palestinians. Whenever we hear this thing, the things that are being done to the Palestinians, and it happens to be for us, humiliating because it is being done in our name. People don't know to differentiate, and they feel that this is the will of the Jewish nation, this nation that's supposed to be in emulating God. It's a double and a triple tragedy because of what's being done to the Palestinians, done in our name, and people are fearful. And another point is people are fearful. There's so many people who demonstrate, but at the same time, there would be everyday big demonstrations. There would be constant demonstrations. But being the intimidation of the Zionists against us, against our people, my friend went 3 weeks ago into Borough Park at Brooklyn in New York. He went out. He went to some party there. He comes out, a celebration. Somebody was getting married. He comes out, and he was surrounded by Zionists and beaten. The police have so far discovered nothing. They broke his windows in his car with bricks. They beat him up. He was just able to escape with his life. And this is not the first time it happened. This constantly happens. We have a rabbi in Manchester who went with me to Iran. The police have put cameras around his house. The Zionists know what they're doing. They attack the ones who are vocal in order to intimidate the rest of the Jewish community not to speak up. So when you think that people are actually agreeing with the Zionists, of these powerful organizations that are the vocal, everybody. the world to know that it's not true. There are many, many people amongst the Jewish community who are simply fearful for, to open their mouths because of the intimidation and lack of humanity of the Zionists, which you see amongst the Palestinians, and unfortunately, it doesn't get reported what's happening to Jews because, again, the papers, the media outlets that are the major media outlets don't want the hassle. They don't report it because then they'll be condemned as being anti-Semitic, which is again another ploy of the Zionists. They constantly refer to anybody who speaks up about the injustice to the Palestinian people, and or you know, which is simply against a politically flawed movement, Zionism, nothing to do with the religious Judaism. But immediately, anybody who speaks up is condemned as being anti-Semitic. That is the ploy of fusing Judaism, the religion, with their movement, political movement. That's why they picked Palestine. It wasn't such a fruitful country. They would have been, much more plausible to use Uganda or some other rich, minerally rich country. But they picked Palestine because they knew they'll be able to constantly intimidate people and wave the Bible as a legitimate.
Well, not just that. I think, Rabbi, one of the things that a lot of people forget is that this is the holy city of not just one religion, of most of the religions, the monotheistic religions. And who would dare, even if I wanted to hurt Israel, I would not hurt the Christian aspect of this city. Even if I wanted to hurt Israel, I wouldn't hurt the Muslim aspect if I was a Muslim. These things, it became a very safe haven for them, in fact.
Yes, and it all has to do because of their proficient and successful wielding of power, you know, of public relations, and fooling the world into making this some type of a religious, you know, holiness that people are fearful. Let's say you have Darfur. I mean, it's these issues, you know, terrible calamities and genocides that are happening throughout the world, issues that people stand up, you know, human rights activists. But when it comes to the issue of Palestine, people step back because they think, oh, well, I'm mixing in between some godly fight between this religion and that religion, and, you know, I better not touch it or I'll become considered anti-Semitic. And that is their ploy, when in truth it is so clear that this is nothing to do with the religious conflict. In fact, it goes much further. The Muslim community, as a religious Jewish people, we are taught, once we are children, that the Muslim communities throughout the world, the Arab communities, were always gracious hosts for the Jewish people. And we always had a safe haven, and we lived amongst the Muslim communities. Before there were any human rights watch groups or United Nations, we were always able to live in these countries by the Crusades, by the Inquisition, and now by World War II, prior to it and after. We never had problems. And I'm not saying it was always perfect. You know, when you have different people from different religions, it wasn't always perfect. But it was, as a general rule, we were not massacred, and in a tremendous way. And so this is something which we were able to coexist. And the Zionists are reinventing history and trying to let the world know that the Muslims are people who you cannot trust, and they are people who are intolerant of other people from other religions. This is patently false. And by so doing, they're doing, again, against God, because we are told that we have to be thankful. We are taught from children we always have to be thankful to people. If they ever did good, always recognize and be thankful for the good that's done to you. These Muslim countries, we have to always be thankful for, and we are thankful for. And we will never forget the generosity and kindness that was displayed for the Jewish people throughout the generations. And here the Zionists, because they don't have
any godly... are denying that and denouncing all of that. And as a matter of fact, as a Palestinian, I've often been called a Jew hater, an anti-Semite. And my position is, just like yours, Rabbi, I know for a fact, because I work closely side by side in my peace activism with members of many of the organizations here in the metropolitan Detroit area. I know you've been here. As a matter of fact, you and I have met in Washington. You know, people that I know in the Chicago area that I had hoped were going to be here. And one of the things that we always hear is that you hate Jews. We do not hate Jews. Jews like you, Jews like the Natura Carta, the Orthodox Jews that know and understand the nature of what is being done in the name of Judaism by Zionists, attacking the brutal occupation of the Palestinian people, the unethical, immoral apartheid wall that's being built. You know, Jimmy Carter called it apartheid, and he too was brutally character assassinated. You have been attacked. You have been character assassinated. The Natura Carta has literally been, if I'm not mistaken, I had read this once before, almost completely driven out of Israel due to the viciousness of the attacks against your people. And how can we as a community come together and stop Zionism?
Well, the first thing is, as a religious person, and I'm speaking to all the people who are God-fearing, which I'm sure you have your listeners are, and we have to remember that God controls the world. So the first thing is that we have to pour our hearts out to God constantly and understand that ultimately to accomplish anything is in the hands of God. And we have to pray to him that he should bring a speedy and peaceful and total dismantlement to this rogue and illegitimate state of Israel, so we can once again live under the proper ownership, you know, of here these, in this case, the Palestinian indigenous population, and that we can be loyal citizens and harmonious neighbors as we have had for all the hundreds of years. That's first of all. And then, but God requires of us to sanctify his name and to do what we must. So what we must do is educate. Now, I implore always Muslim people. And as you, like you say, we meet, invite in you at different conferences or whatever. It's always I meet older people and I say, and they come over, they approach me or I approach them and they say, hey, you know, I come from Baghdad or I come from Constantinople or from Egypt, wherever it is. And I'll tell you a story about how we live together, the Jewish community, and a private story, you know, and they will tell me a very nice, you know, a heartwarming story about how they lived together in total friendship and supported each other and, you know, breastfed each other's children, which I could tell you in Yemen, I know, and then so forth. Well, I personally was there. So this is what we have to approach the older generation when they're still alive and take a tape recorder, stand in front of them and say either you write down or speak into a tape recorder, record the history of the truth of how the Muslims live together with other people and with Jewish people especially, how we live together in harmony. Let us record it. Once it's recorded, we implore people, send it to us or write it in your newspaper, send it to www.nkusa.org for Natura Carta. We want to educate the world that they should understand that the over 50 years that people see in the United States in the American papers and in the Western European papers, the constant writing about how vilification of the Muslims and how, you know, they hate the Jews and therefore they hate anybody who's not Muslim, because you have to understand the Western civilization doesn't know. They're relatively new Muslims to the Western civilization. So they look at the history of the people who lived with them, which is the Jewish people, and they see this terrible history that the Zionists are writing. So we have to educate, infuse millions of dollars, just as the Zionists do in their propaganda. We have to put in the truth into the papers, let the world know that the history is that we've been coexisting with this other way of serving God, you know, the difference of religion, but we coexisted. It wasn't any point of contention. We coexisted and served God before there were any human rights groups. There was no problem. Let the world, and by educating, people will wake up, and then we can say, look, so if this is the case, how come we are having these problems? What is the problem that is causing this contention and this rift between Jews and Muslims and so on? And let us say, so then we will discover it's just like the apartheid in, you know, that they vilified and there was, you know, the black people in South Africa. When people awoke to the wrong that is being done to the black people and they realized that it's not to be condoned, then they started acting and made sanctions. When people will wake up and see that they don't have to be fearful to confront this this flawed and illegitimate and wrong movement, political movement of Zionism, and you don't have to be fearful of being attacked as anti-Semitic, because you'll say, look at the papers, look, it's not true. They live together, and there's religious Jews who are hundreds of thousands who are not Zionists. So I'm simply against this injustice of this policy of Zionism, this running of a country country, that's a total, like we say, it's like an apartheid. You know, this is
wrong.
You know, and then we fail to accomplish.
Absolutely. Let me make an inference right here. Here we have a virtual auditorium, and we have with us people that are in Israel right now. And one of the statements being made in our text is that the Natura Carta, and this is by an Israeli Jew, saying that Natura Carta is considered to be a joke in Israel, and that it is a minor community that has little or no influence, and is being condemned for attending the conference in Iran. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Okay. See, that's the ploy. One of the ploys, like I say, they are very shrewd, and they have a system. They pay for the most expensive public relations groups in the United States and throughout the world, because they have an endless well of money, and they, in order to further their cause, and they're constantly fearful because they're losing ground in universities because there's the internet and, you know, there's your programs and, you know, and things like that, and now Al Jazeera and so forth, that the truth is coming out. So they're infusing now millions of dollars in universities to try to regain their position because they use their approach is to take the Jewish community, this rich religious Jewish community, our sages, the ones who are the most esteemed scholars and holy men, and the ones who led the community throughout the ages were the holy men and the rabbis. And what they do is they ridicule this community, they disparage, and they totally ignore, you know, their edicts and the truth of what Judaism is all about. And they are very successful because of their power and intimidation and not letting the papers write up on what the truth is. For instance, we make large demonstrations of 50,000 people in New York. It wasn't covered in the mainstream papers. It's unbelievable, their power. So, and then they when somebody asks, you know, what's about these Jews? Oh, they don't exist, or they're self-hating Jews, and, you know, they're ridiculing, and that is their approach to us. But if somebody would take the time, and first of all, like we say, there's a saying amongst Judaism that Abraham was one against the whole world, even if it would be true that we would be no numbers. But this is the truth of the Torah. They cannot steal the name of Judaism. They cannot, for instance, if somebody would, an atheist who was a very gifted, eloquent speaker, would want to become the Pope and say that he's an atheist, and now he's going to become the Pope and take over Christianity and transform it into some idol worshipery or, you know, something like atheism, and he'll say, look, and he'll prove it 10 times. That won't change it. Well, you can't change Islam and say that it's atheism, you know, and have a leader and call it some atheistic belief because you're an eloquent speaker or because you have millions or a majority of people. You can't change the fact of what a religion is. Judaism is the fear of God and, like I say, contradictory to what Zionism is. So now they may ridicule us, and even if we would have no numbers, you cannot change the fact that one and one is two. Even if you have the greatest speakers and the greatest professors, you won't change the truth. But the fact is that there is a tremendously large communities throughout the world who will never accept Zionism because it's contradictory to Judaism. They unfortunately just have the control through, as I say, through many issues, through fear. People are fearful to speak up and intimidation.
Media control.
And the media and intimidation. They have the APAC that controls
every
politician anywhere in the United States, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. I mean, it's mind-boggling. If you go to the APAC conference, they will have Democrats and Republicans from the majority and the minority, and from the president down. Everybody has to come and bow to the, you know, to this altar of Zionism in order to get in with. And if God forbid anybody speaks up too sympathetically to the Palestinian side, they are committing political suicide. And the same thing is with press. We've had through my over 25 years of being spokesperson and one of the spokespeople, we've had interviews with the hello.
Yes,
hello.
We're right here with you.
Yeah, we've had interviews with the major newspapers, and lengthy interviews, and they've made made research. And at the end of the day, we say, what happened to the article? We've spent hours together. What happened? They say, well, it's been cut by the editor, or, you know, we've had it tens of times. You know, it's just too controversial. People are afraid, you know, they're going to lose their newspaper over an issue that's not their, you know, their baby. You know, so it, this is a fact. The fact is God gave us the religion of Judaism. You can't change God. You can't change what religion of Judaism is. It's compatible Zionism with Judaism, and the fact is that their ridicule will not change the fact that if you will go in Jerusalem, you will come to New York, you will go to the major, where there's a large Jewish area, in the small Jewish places where there's only a small concentration of religious Jews, they're fearful to speak up, and that's our, I can tell you this.
Well, that's the key right there. And, this is something that I've actually, and right after this, we're going to have to take a couple of calls. We have some callers waiting, Rabbi. But one of the things that I have often heard is that we are afraid to speak up. And my message for Zionists that believe that they have something to be afraid of, there are people in the world that are begging you, please, speak up, because what Israel is doing is going to affect the entire world. It is going to affect the security of the world. It is going to affect the safety of the people of the world. And we need brave Jews to speak up. Jews like you, sir, Rabbi. And again, it is a privilege and a distinct honor having you. And for those of you that think that this is just a rare community, it is not. There are hundreds of thousands of Jews in the world that speak out and that are advocates of peace, and Rabbi Weiss is just one of them. Rabbi, we have Matt from, I think, California. Matt, would you please come to the microphone and give your brief question to the rabbi?
I don't hear anything.
Matt, are you there? Oh, he dropped them. Okay, our next question is going to come from Saad in California. Saad, will you please come to the mic?
All right. Hello.
Speak up, please, Saad.
My question is to you about the Avraham Berg, the ex or the former speaker of the Israeli Knesset, about his book Defeating Hitler. In that book, he states that defining Israel.
I'm sorry, we could not hear you, Saad. It was very, very low. Please put your hand up again. And our next question is going to come, I believe, from a friend of yours, Rabbi Weiss. Mustafa, will you please come to the microphone?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I want to grab this opportunity just to salute Rabbi Weiss. I know him personally. I am Mustafa from Chicago, and I will never forget what he told me one time when he asked to join our march, our demonstration in Chicago. I told him that I am worried that we were about 10,000 people. Maybe some of the Palestinians, they will not be aware that he is a supporter and that he is a brother, and I was worried that he might get hurt. And he answered me, he said, if I get hurt from my Palestinian brothers, I don't mind it, Mustafa. This I will never forget. So I am proud of your friendship. I am proud of you. I am proud of your support. And you've been with us long, long time. And I hope that you will succeed in convincing the rest of the world about what's right and what's wrong in Palestine. Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you.
Yeah, God bless and thank you. And we always appreciate the words of encouragement. And again, we ask people, like I say, to record the history. We also ask people that we would love. We don't take any honorariums. We would love to go internationally or nationally to any Muslim center, to any college, university, wherever it is, to speak. And as I say, we don't take honorariums. we want to simply sanctify God's name and take away the name, the stain of Judaism, to further, with God's help, to free the Palestinian people. So if anything comes up or people know of anything, please let us know, contact us, call us to your centers and or conferences if you know of anything, or anything you feel that was necessary for us to know, contact us. Also, if any, if you feel, that, like I say, there's some records or books or anything interesting, also contact us, let us know, because maybe you know, our, unfortunately, our center was burnt down, and we almost all our documents and records were destroyed, unfortunately, so we are looking to build up. Again, we're not looking for the money, we're looking simply for records and any documentation and history that people can help us with. We want to come speak amongst you any place where, with God's help, we will go. I didn't mention earlier, you asked me about the Iran trip. I just on a very shortly, I would like to state that the whole issue, just as Zionism does with every other issue, you know, and disparages and belittles us, so they try to do with this Holocaust conference. We actually have met a few times with the president of Iran, President Ahmadinejad, and he was falsely accused of saying he wants to wipe off the, you know, Jews off the map. And it happens to be that in the London Guardian and in the University of Michigan, Juan Cole, his name is, wrote an article, and he said it was simply false translated. He never said that in Persian, and it was written by a writer in the London in the London Guardian, where he quotes, and he writes, Jonathan Steele, he writes, and nobody refuted it, and I've seen it many times, checked up by here, in fact, my name, one of the ones who are running for president now, Kaczynski, I forget, I'm not saying his name right, I'm embarrassed, but he also writes about the fact that, you know, because they wanted to make in the Congress now, like some type of a resolution or something against Iran, and that he said it's very dangerous, it could bring to terrible results, and it's all based on false accusations. We have to understand that the president, we met with him for an hour in the United States when he was here, President Ahmadinejad, we met with him in Iran, he profuses and constantly states and that he doesn't have anything against the Jewish people, and he doesn't look to kill the Jewish people, and he has a Jewish community of over 25,000 people, Jewish people there, and they protect them, and it's a fact, and everybody knows that. And in fact, he gives charities in the Zionist, in one of the non-religious papers, they even wrote about it, the foreword on a front-page article. They said only 200 people left from the 25,000 people last year, and not because of any oppression, only because of business reasons. He says it's interesting, they said, even though he's against the Jews, but he gives charity to the Jews. And where do they take he's against the Jews? That's false. You know, so that's the fact. He kept on, he was very warm to us, and he showed his warmth, and like I said, he protects the Jews. And
we do have,
to
we do have another caller, Rabbi.
Yeah, just one other point,
here,
and when it comes to the conference, conference was not a Holocaust denial. It was to speak about the Holocaust, and we made a point as the foreign minister opened the session, and he said we are here just to speak about the Holocaust. We want to also understand how come the Palestinian people must pay for the crime that was committed in Europe. That is why we went, and I spoke right after the foreign minister at the opening session, and everybody recorded it. We stated clearly that the Holocaust happened, my grandparents were killed in Auschwitz, and aunts and uncles. We know that, but therefore, the Jews died because, these millions of Jews died because to sanctify God's name. They don't want to be so-called, say, pick dug up, to rebel against God and oppress another people. That is wrong. And that is what we were there for, to get the message out. And that is what our message was falsified. Associated Press came back different than BBC and Reuters. They all reported it right, except Associated Press came back and said, I said it was exaggerated. And that was patently false, and they had to make a retraction. But nobody here reported the retraction from the Zionist papers and in the Jewish communities. They vilified us. Even though Associated Press made a retraction that they we never said it was exaggerated. On the contrary, we said there were millions of Jews killed, but they shouldn't be used to oppress the people. We don't want, Zionism is the greatest factory of exacerbating anti-Semitism in the world. They are our greatest enemy. They are the cause, the root cause of of the endless river of blood of Palestinians, of Jews, Muslims, Christians, we in Palestine, we must stand up and let the world know, and let us try with God's help, pray to God, and stop this tragic movement that is causing so much pain and suffering. Let us pray to God for the peaceful and speedy dismantlement. And we are lovers of Jews as old people around the world, not, God forbid, self-hating Jews around by Semites and so forth. This is just Zionist propaganda to intimidate people who want to speak up for justice.
Well, bravo. And again, you heard it here on the People Speak Radio, the exaggeration of the statements that were made, a group of people that went that were not Holocaust deniers, as a matter of fact, that were tragic victims of the Holocaust, such as Rabbi Weiss. His grandparents were and aunts and uncles died in the Holocaust. And still, the Zionist propaganda machine turned it around, twisted it, because they didn't conform to similar to what the statement by Avram Berg, who says that to define the state of Israel as a Jewish state is the key to its end. So it's already known. Even the Zionists admit that they cannot call it a Jewish state because it's the end of the state. These are some of the things. Now we have one question by Sue. Sue, will you please come to the microphone and ask a brief question of the rabbi? We're really running out of time, so hopefully we can get at least one more question in it.
Yes, I'll make it short. Rabbi, what is the solution to the Israeli-Palestinian issue? Can a two-state solution work? And if it can, what do you see as the politics to make this happen? Thank you, sir.
Wow, that's a very heavy question for a very short time. But we believe, it says in the Torah, in the Bible, the teachings of God, that if you will go against God's word, it will not be successful. In fact, it's like a question for it. It says, why are you going against God's word? It will not be successful. Our rabbis warned us at the inception of Zionism, at the beginning of the state, they constantly repeated, they said, you will see this will only bring suffering and bloodshed because we were warned by God that it cannot be successful. Therefore, we believe that the only true solution is, the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the state. And unfortunately, although we are very glad when more land is returned to the Palestinians, and we try to support them in any representation that they want, it's their free will to pick whoever they want to represent them. And even ones who represent them are not our enemies. We know for a fact, whether it's Hamas or any party or the Palestinian Authority, whatever they want, we know it's their will, and they don't hate the Jews. That's a fact. We've met with all different factions. So the truth is, the only really peace, the long-lasting peace, is when it will be dismantled, and it will eventually be dismantled, but it's not God's will. That's why they're never successful, whether they have the hawks or the doves, that we could go through history and show how they thought they'll always be successful when they had the Six-Day War and so forth. So that is the truth. So we have to pray, and we have to pray to God, as I say, that it should happen speedily and peacefully, that it should be without any more suffering, the end of the state. At the same time, we are helping, we are supporting, that we want to, backing, and that whatever is given to the Palestinians is a step in the right direction. But eventually, it takes a lot of education that people should understand that it's totally, the state as it stands, even on 1 inch of land, is forbidden for us Jewish people, and it's doing wrong to the Palestinian people, which is also forbidden according to the Torah. I have to mention two little points. When we met with Ahmadinejad,
we'll have to make this very brief, Rabbi. We have to wrap it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, like I say, let's play.
I know we could go on. And one of the things that I would like to do is invite you back to our show. You are obviously a wealth of information, a refreshing statement for the world. I apologize for only having an hour to offer you tonight. I hope you will take us up on our offer to have you come back soon. I want everybody to know that this has been a fantastic evening. There are good Jews in the world. There are hundreds of thousands of good Jews in the world, and they are working side by side with Palestinians, with good Americans, with people all over the world. Thank you very much, and this is a wrap for this evening. Thank you, Rabbi, for being with us.
Let us hope that we pray God's name is peace, that he should bring peace
God
sooner nowadays without any more suffering.
God bless you. God bless you and your work, sir.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. It's been great. We'll see you Tuesday night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief fountain, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me. Yeah.